being collected. Thank you for your generosity to the Lord. It is a privilege to have Rich Frazier here. And one of the reasons last year as we brought him on as part of our mission support is because I really believe, obviously, in what he's trying to accomplish in SOS International. And he'll explain why, and after that, let me encourage you, he'll be underneath the tent. If you want to get some additional time or you want to find out about more about that ministry. But Rich, come and share with us.
Well, good morning. I tell you, it is such a joy to be here. You look wonderful, by the way. You might think I look strange because I got this thing on, but I live in the desert. Okay, so I woke up early this morning about 5 o'clock, looked outside, and the temperature said it was about 55 degrees. And where I live, it's 95 by now. Okay, so I'm just a little bit cold. That's the second reason why I'm wearing this, but the primary reason is because you got to know there's perks for knowing somebody who goes overseas and goes to different countries. So I'm going to make sure that my favorite pastor's wife can benefit from this pashmina from Nepal. And so thank you, Sue, for all that you do to keep Gary going. But what a joy it is, again, to be with you. Appreciate so much the growth that I see in the church over here, the health. And Pastor Gary tells me stories of what's going on here, and he mentions you by name and asks us to pray for you, and he's so grateful to you. So I want to pass that on to you. I'm sure you hear that every week, right? But I want to make sure you hear it again. As Gary said, I get the privilege of being president of SOS International Spiritual Overseers Service. We're primarily a leadership training ministry, but I want to thank you for partnering with us so that world evangelism could be accelerated and people will be made disciples. And we do all that through equipping and training the leaders that exist in the church. If you could put up that picture of Pastor Gary with leaders in Ghana. If you've ever heard of Pastor Gary's mission trip to Ghana to train Christian leaders, it's through SOS International that he did that. They love him there. They want him to come back, and that he has trained leaders who are now training hundreds, if not thousands, of other leaders in the things that that he's trained them with. Let me share with you some good news. Between 100 and 175,000 people come to Christ every day around the world. I like that. I appreciate that. I heard one wow. How about the rest of you? A gasp or something? Isn't that amazing? I mean, to think that what you're doing here in Kelseyville, people are coming to Christ on a regular basis, but around the world, between 100,000 to 175,000 people come to Christ every day. Now, most of that is in the southern hemisphere, what we call the majority world, Asia, Africa, South America. And did you know that the 15 largest churches in the world exist outside the United States? Okay, we think we've got big churches. They've got churches in Nigeria that I've driven past that have over 100,000 people in their ministry. But here's the crisis that's happening in the church around the world. 90 to 95% of the Christian leaders that are leading those churches that are preaching have very little to no training. That means the men and women who get up to preach and teach every time they get up, they have no training to preach and teach. Now, thankfully, your pastor has a doctorate. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Some of you may not know that. He's studied to show himself approved to God. But a lot of these men and women, they don't have that training. And so our mission is to get to those leaders to make sure that they do get that training. That's what we do. SOS International is there to equip Christian ministry leaders for the work of ministry so that the body of Christ will be healthy, growing, and reproducing. And just because of your partnership with SOS International, last year, by the grace of God, through our network of leaders that we send, like Pastor Gary, like the pastor of Bay Hills in Richmond, other evangelical free churches, other churches, and the international team that we have, more than 6,500 leaders were trained through SOS International. I was just in Nepal a few weeks ago teaching at this modular Bible college that's popping up there. About 20 key strategic young pastors and ministry leaders that are preparing themselves to better serve the Lord in their country of Nepal, where it is actually illegal to talk to people about Christ. And if they get arrested and convicted, they could spend 5 years in prison and have to pay a fine of $500 for every person that they lead to Christ. And I want you to know that since that law was enacted last year, more people are coming to Christ than the year before. Isn't that wonderful? Kind of in your face a little bit, you know? We like that. We like that. They're bold. They're unstoppable and determined that their nation will know Jesus Christ as Lord. Right now, about 2% of Nepal is believers. So we have helped them start this two-year modular Bible college. It's a two-year study, 12 courses, one-week intensive classes. I was just there 3 weeks ago teaching a class on the life and teachings of Christ. Four very intensive days, 6-7 hours of teaching a day. Then they have 2 hours of homework so that they get these topics instilled in their mind. So there's one class every other month for 2 years. We help them select professors and pastors to go and to teach these classes, which is sort of a hybrid. What we're working on now is having a certificate with that comes from William Jessup University down in Granite Bay. So I have a little video here I'd like to show you of myself and the leader of Tabernacle Ministries there, Pradeep Jha. So we're going to run that video right now. Thanks, Ron. Going to run that video. Is it there?
Thank you for the privilege of sharing with you today. My name is Dr. Rich Fraser, and I'm the president of SOS International. We have the privilege of working with our ministry partners here in Nepal, Tabernacle Ministries, which is led by Pastor Pradeep Jha. This last week, we've had the privilege of conducting a Bible school for some of their promising leaders. Let me introduce to you Pastor Pradeep Jha of Tabernacle Ministries, and he'll share more with you about the amazing ministry that they're able to see happen here in Nepal.
Hello, this is Pastor Pradeep Jha, President of Tabernacle Ministries Nepal. It is a privilege for me to share about what God is doing in and through us. Mainly we are engaged in church planting, disciple making, and more so over in equipping the saints for the ministry. So more we are successful in the church planting and disciple making, more need we see in the leadership area. So as led by God, we started this modular Bible school that equips the leaders for the local churches. Let me tell you a little bit about this modular Bible school that we have come up with. It's 12 modules that will cover in 2 years. So every 2 months, our pastors and leaders, they meet for 5 full days where we have about 40 hours of class, and they have some other homeworks they do, and diligently they sit in the class and they work their homeworks, and they bring the scripture alive through skits and some dialogues in between them. So it's a practical learning more than information or knowledge. It is a more practical and implied principles we teach so they can apply in their lives, their families, their ministry. We have just completed our 4th module with Dr. Rich Fraser from SOS International and his wife. We had a tremendous time with our leaders and pastors. As I see, just after 8 months of starting this modular Bible school, I see the changes taking place, transformation is taking place in the lives of these pastors and leaders. It's so nice to hear from local congregations as they say that their pastors are preaching and teaching very well after going to the Bible school. So it is really encouraging for me to see how this modular Bible school is helping these pastors and leaders, and through them it's helping local churches. And I hope that this will help local churches to remain healthy, to produce more healthy churches in the region. We really need your help and prayer and support to continue this ministry that is meeting one of the greatest needs in the Christian world, that is equipping the leaders. Thank you.
Let me invite you to consider partnering with us and Tabernacle Ministries to see this ministry fulfilled here in Nepal, a place where there is great fruit being produced in and through their ministry. Many, many leaders that are being equipped and trained to do the work of ministry so that the expansion of the ministry will be natural and fruitful for many, many years to come. Thank you for your interest in SOS International and Tabernacle Ministries, and we look forward to hearing from you in the days ahead.
Yeah. It's our hope and prayer that Pastor Pradeep will be able to be here with you on November 24th. He's coming here to visit and to talk more with William Jessup University and to come and speak with you as well. Different objectives that the Bible College has. One, of course, to educate these young leaders in basic Bible doctrine as well as ministry skills, to develop them as capable pastors, church planters, evangelists, and church ministries. By the way, in that way, Pastor Pradeep and his ministry has been responsible for planting more than 200 churches in Nepal, where the church is actually growing in spite of the impending persecution in that. To prepare Christian leaders to pass on what's been entrusted to them, and then to create a hybrid model, help with the help of William Jessup University, to create a hybrid model where it's not just education, but it's education and practical training. So these leaders, when they go out, they'll know what to do and they'll how to do it and have that background. So I just want to thank you for partnering with SOS International. This is one of the projects we're heavily involved with in Nepal, and I want you to know that you get credit for all this that happens through the support that you give. So thank you, and thank you, Pastor Gary, for the opportunity to share with you all. God bless you.
All right. It's been a joy to work with Rich on this. The idea is if we can come up with these, we already have the 12 core modules, and then they would be able to be reproduced, whether it's in Nepal or in Nigeria or in South America. And so please pray for that. I think all of you could survive spiritually if all of a sudden the Lord decided to translate Pastor Jason and Paul and myself and our spouses directly to heaven right now. You would survive because you have, this church is rich with men and women who know the Word of God and love the Word of God. But around the world today, at the cutting edge of things, is the opportunity to come alongside dedicated men and women who are willing to put their lives on the line and their comfort on the line. I can't imagine sitting cross-legged for 40 hours on the floor, but I've been there for weeks on end in Africa where that's people so hungry for the Word. So here's how we're going to help as a church. At one of the focuses of our Christmas giving is going to be to help Pradeep pay for scholarships and for the next year of training for his cohort of leaders. And that's going to be quite exciting. This will be helping them to finish the first 12 course leadership and biblical training. And I'm so excited about that. And so we'll tell you more about that, and it'll be a joy if he can make it to have Pradeep be with us. Oh, well, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we finish our study in the book of Proverbs, we thank you, Lord, that you have not left us alone. We thank you for the promises in the book of Proverbs of what we can achieve in our own soul as we trust and study your word. So, Lord, we thank you. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to learn and listen today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, let's go back to the promise that we started with many, many months ago as we started Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, this is Proverbs 1:1-7, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of the understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand the proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The promise of that is completely generic. That means man, woman, boy or girl. Those are the promises. The ultimately centers on this is that we need to have a proper relationship with the Lord, and that the Lord has something to say to us. I'm currently in the throes of, exciting throes of building a new kitchen. And I've shared this before because I decided that we want the cabinets to be from IKEA. And so I've done IKEA cabinets before, but not to this level, because literally there are probably 70 boxes that all have to be put together in a certain way. Now, every once in a while, I get too smart for myself. I say, I don't need those plans anymore. And sometimes I'm successful and sometimes not. But I found myself yesterday at a very technical spot saying, you know what, I think I'm really going to mess things up if I don't go back to the instructions. Now, there's a lot riding on it. I mean, the joy of my and the unity of my marriage. Okay, so today, last week we talked about biblical manhood. It was really more generic as humanity. And today we want to end because the book of Proverbs ends with a very important passage in Proverbs 31. Now, we want to talk then about the concept of biblical womanhood and what we learn from the book of Proverbs and from Scripture itself. Chapter 31 is a very unique chapter because it tells us in the book of Proverbs that Solomon went around the known world and he gathered proverbs and sayings, and then ultimately we know that this was to be a template of curriculum to train up his own kids, specifically his sons. So when we read chapter 31, it's interesting how it starts. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. So now this is another king, and this is what his mother taught him. Okay? So I have a mother, she's with the Lord now, and I remember very clearly things that she taught me. So it's in that kind of context. Hey, this is sitting down, you know, a mom who knows kids pretty well is able to sit down. So here's some of the first things she says. This mother teaching her son, who is a king. So if you don't think as a mother you have some impact, boy, here's Lemuel all ears, so impactful that Solomon's going to repeat it. So he says this, what, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows, do not give your strength to women, or the ways to which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, for the king to drink wine, for rulers to desire strong drink, lest they become they drink and forget their decrees and pervert the rights of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to those whose life is bitter. Let them drink and forget his poverty. Remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. This is a mom telling her son how to live their life. All right? So it says, watch out for wild women. My mom warned me of that, you know. And then we specifically have here about watching out for strong drink, and this to make sure you're a kind person, you're looking out for the needy. But then goes into this very beautiful picture of called the worthy woman. Now this is actually an acrostic. Each one of these verses has to do with the Hebrew alphabet. All right, so that's how it's laid out. Somebody just read it to us, and then we'll go. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works her hands in delight. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar and rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household, portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow of her household, for all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself, and clothing of fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and he sits among the elders of the land. She makes her linen garments and sells them, supplies belts to tradesmen. She stretches her strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teachings of kindness are on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, and her husband also praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." Now, I'm not going to do a sermon on that. I just needed to read it. And you need to read it in the proper context. This is a king's mother saying, if you're going to get married, then marry an excellent woman. That sounds fine to me. This seems like something that I'm glad there's not a chapter like this for men, you know. Because, I mean, they're kind of, the whole Bible is that, right? But this is a lot. I mean, you got to buy and sell stuff. You got to be able to knit, and you got to do this. And this is the superwoman, all right? But it doesn't it sound like a good mom to say to their kid, "Hey, man, I want you to marry well." You know, we can lose sight of the fact. I think that there are some broad pictures in this that I want to share. It talks about this, is that this is the kind of woman who seems to be empowered to be everything the Lord has called her to be. I think that's what the Lord wants. So we want to talk about that. What is a virtuous woman as it relates to what the Bible says? And you may say, well, how can you speak on this because you're not a woman? Well, that's true. But I have a very good relationship with my wife. I have a daughter and I have a mother. I had grandmothers. I have Christian friends who are women. And so the issue is I know the Bible. And so here we go. So here's the first thing I can tell you that you must understand. A biblical woman understands that she is created in the image of God. Here's what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him. All right. Some would say that as God created man or male, that creation wasn't done yet. He wanted man to know, hey, you're not complete. There's something, there's another side. Now, does that mean that I need a woman to be able to completely understand that we're made in the image of God? No, I believe that individually we are created in the image of God. But there's something about maleness and femaleness that God has created. There is nothing in the Bible that speaks to gender fluidity. It may be politically correct to say that, and people, the soul of a human being can be very, very confused. And I'm not downplaying the fact that people struggle with things. But the fact is the Bible says there's male and female. And somehow in that, we are created in the image of God. Now, I have two very, very fine puppies at home. They're wonderful. In fact, we were talking yesterday about creation, and isn't it interesting that the animals were created before man? But it doesn't say that my dogs were created in the image of God. They were created by God, and they're marvelous. But the fact is that there's something special about being created in the image of God. So ladies, you are created as image bearers of God. Psalm chapter 139, verse 13 and following. You are formed, and you form me in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book they were written, every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Friends, each one of us here were created by God and are his image bearers. So here's one of the things that the devil will try to do, and I'm going to speak specifically to women, but I know it's to men also. He wants you to feel like you are nothing. He wants you to wrestle with your self-image. He wants you to compare yourself one to another. And here's the only thing from these passages. Friends, compare yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are created by him, and he wants, God's purpose is you may be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But along the way, I mean, we wrestle with our sense of self. So here's the first thing I would say to the ladies here. A biblical woman understands that she is created in the image of God. Next, the biblical woman understands that she is redeemed as a follower of Jesus Christ. There's something broken. Adam and Eve, they went off the rails, you know. But God made a way that we may be restored to new creatures. Galatians chapter 3, verses 28-29. There is neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave or free. There's no males or females. You are all one in Christ. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. John tells us, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. So not only are you created by God, but ladies and the men too, you have been redeemed, bought back by Jesus Christ. And so I can't think of a more holy thing than to see yourself as a daughter of the King of Kings. Everything else really is secondary to that, isn't it? We'll talk more about that in a moment. As a biblical woman must understand that she is gifted. Here's the third point. Gifted and empowered by God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I love this verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, 10. So the issue is, not only are you created by God, and you are the image bearer of the Creator. You're not an animal. You're created by God to bear his image. Now, if you live in a world that says you're just an animal, you're just the product of a cosmic accident of chemistry 7.5 billion years ago, then you can believe that any time you want, but it's not true. God created you, are image bearer of God. Even in your brokenness, Jesus Christ came to redeem you and to set you apart and make your life. You've been bought, and he owns you, and he loves you. And next, he has given you gifts that you may have a fruitful life. Now, not every person is gifted the same. And so the issue is, the devil wants you to compare yourself with the person sitting next to you, or the people you see on the TV screen, or whatever. It's ridiculous. God says, I made you. I molded you. And so when you go to the book of Proverbs and it's telling you, hey, here's some wise ways to live, to walk, to make decisions. how to deal with your anger or your emotions. He is speaking to sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And lastly, a biblical woman is a gospel-centered woman. She is created, redeemed, blessed, and gifted to be a blessing to those around. That's why we're still here. I think of a whole lot of things. I mentioned earlier, wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden, just as soon as you believe, or maybe when you're baptized, you went straight to heaven? That would be wonderful. But that's not what God created us for. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so we're supposed to glorify Him by the way we live. And I think that clearly the book of Proverbs helps us with that. I want to make a quick comment before I move on to the issue of Proverbs 31. A fantastic passage. But I want to say this, is that you cannot define yourself, man, I'll be finally a perfect woman when I find the perfect man. I'll be a perfect woman when my children are perfect. If your joy is tied to anything other than Jesus, you're going to be disappointed. Praise God for husbands. I hope to be a good one. Praise God for children. But you are not defined by that. That is a task and a calling that God has given to some. Our calling is to be the image bearers of God, our Creator, the one who would redeem us. And we are walking in a way that says, Lord, use my life any way you want. I praise God for the men and women in Nepal. My heart aches for them. You know what? But the pictures I've seen and talking to Rich, there's a supreme joy, even in the middle of persecution. And I think that will happen when persecution hits America, and it hasn't hit yet, but when it hits, I believe there will be supreme joy. Because we're not defined. We have to be defined by our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So here's some things I would encourage you to do. One, first is in the book of Proverbs. One, because of that, seek the Lord first. It says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Matthew chapter 9, chapter 6, Jesus says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, or tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So first and foremost, seek and fear the Lord. Now, this I'm sharing this in the concept of biblical womanhood, but also biblical manhood. We must seek the Lord first. Amen. I was reading the story about Sarah Wesley, as Charles Wesley's wife. They had 19 kids. You got to have a large van so for that. But praise God, there were no vans back then. And can you imagine getting ready, raising 19? So here's what Sarah Wesley would do. She knew that she needed time with the Lord. She had an apron on. She would go and had her favorite chair in the house. And she would sit in the chair, and then she'd get the apron and cover her head with her apron. And pity the child that messed with mom when she had the apron over her head. Because she knew, man, I can't make it unless I'm with my Maker. 19 kids, you know. Friends, we must seek the Lord first. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. Hey, fear the Lord. Put Him first. He's the King, you're not. The next, it talks a lot about our tongue in the book of Proverbs. Love others with godly wisdom, boldness, and kindness as a being a faithful communicator. Proverbs chapter 27 says, better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. All right, that's both for men and women. Women, don't just surround yourself with people who will say yes to you. You want people who will speak truth and love, who come alongside. You be that same person. Not a critical spirit, but an encouraging spirit. Proverbs chapter 31 says, open your mouth for the mute and the rights of the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the afflicted and needy. Your words, you may not be the upfront person. Someone said, hey, Gary, I want you to go to speak tomorrow, for next week to a group of whatever. And I said, fine, I don't have any qualms about that. It's part of my wiring. But ultimately this, we are all called to speak for the Lord. Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness are on her tongue. The teachings of kindness are on her tongue. Now, there are also some warnings about watching out for a contentious woman. It's better to live in a corner of the attic than with a contentious woman. Or a contentious woman is like the dripping, 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 dripping. Now, it doesn't say what is it like to live with a contentious man. I don't think that would be any fun. And I've sat down with some people who they live with a contentious man. The Bible says pray for them because it's no fun. But we're called to be people with the proper use of our words. Next, the book of Proverbs talks about the show of true beauty. Our bodies deteriorate, but our persons develop. We need to invest in those things that will last. It's tough growing old, 60, I'm just telling you, I have aches and pains, and there's, it's all kinds of stuff. But you know what? I can grow old with enthusiasm. It says here the woman of Proverbs 31, she smiles at the future. It says, Lord, I'm that one step closer to you, and you're still using my life. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Also says, I love this one, Proverbs 11:22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. All right, I can see a picture of that. Just because you got it all together, you're just dressed for success. Man, if you don't have discretion, man or woman, then you're a train wreck. The Bible tells us to walk in humility, not to think less of ourselves, but maybe to think of ourselves less. Isaiah chapter 66:2 says, these are the ones I look at, goes, have not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Wow, I want to be that kind of man. Tremble at his word. And lastly here, this issue about serving the Lord. Set your mind on eternal things, serve the eternal King, and live a life that pleases him. If you're married, there's nothing wrong with being a pleasant person and being a good partner together with your husband. But ultimately this, the greatest gift spouses you can give is to love the Lord. Amen. If you're not married, then God will give you a sense if you go, well, I've known people that they got into a train wreck, men or women, because they said, I can't be fulfilled unless I have a man or woman in my life. And that's not how it works. I mean, if you desire a husband or wife, then pray, but let the Lord provide, because you can provide for yourself, and it'll be a train wreck. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. I just encourage each one of us, if we define ourselves by saying, I won't be happy unless I have this, or my children are like this, or my spouse is like this, or somehow my singleness is gone, or my barrenness is gone, I'm just here to tell you, is that the Lord is the one who provides the joy and the fulfillment. Well, I got to land the plane here. I think this is, if we're all created in the image of God, then the Bible then is saying is that there's no hierarchy that somehow men are better than women. All right. Now, there are some very clear mandates in Scripture as to how the church is organized. And so, for whatever reason, the Lord says, as to be the lead pastor and elder of a church, he wants that to be the job of a man. That doesn't mean that there's no women in leadership, or a woman can't lead worship, or if we said, man, we need some ushers or whatever, that women can't. Here's one of the reasons why we haven't had women ushers. It's because the men are lazy. I'm just telling you. Men, you say, hey, we got some stuff to do. I don't know, somebody else will do it. So it's great to have a job like being an usher, which is an important thing, to say to the guys, hey, step up, let's do this. I'm just saying, you know. So I don't have a whole lot of women saying, hey, you know, man, I've just been waking up every day wondering when I can be an usher or serve communion. Nowhere in the Bible doesn't say that only men can serve communion, right? So we ought to, at that point, I'm just saying, hey, we need more ushers. Write down, hey, I like to help do that. We've got greeters, want to help do that. But I'm going to be tougher on men because I know how it is. Men like to sit around. Let the women do it. I've been to countries where the women, they're going to walk 5 miles to get some water while the husband's sitting around chewing on some dope. That's ungodly. Anyway, just don't let me go in on that. I believe that we need to provide partnerships, that there are things that men's ministry should learn from women, and that women's ministry should learn from men. All right? So that's what I'm thinking. And so is this, is that, hey, in a world that is broken, the Me Too movement, people who have been assaulted, abused. It's not just women, it's men also. Unfortunately, it's even impacted the church. Unspeakable. But here's what I have to tell you, is that this church, churches, God's people, the body of Christ, must be a safe place where you can be God's man or God's woman. And if you have thoughts, man, Pastor, I'm thinking about doing this, what do you think? Please talk to me. I'm reading a book because we're going to be starting a sermon series in on prayer, on the Lord's Prayer. And I realize I'm taking too much time, but it is a great book, Quiet Talks on Prayer by S.D. Gordon. You don't have this book because it's out of print, and there's only 3 copies in the world. Anyway, I'm kidding. Dwight Moody had some spare time, heard some great things were happening in England. So he goes to England, just kind of walking the streets, walking in the churches, checking things out. No one knew who he was. Finally, someone recognized him and said, hey, listen, you're Dwight Moody. Come to our church. And he came. Nothing happened. It's like bumps on a log. And finally, one evening, everything changed. After each service, hundreds of people wanted to know the Lord. He left. He went to Dublin. People said, man, you got to come back. Finding out that he came back and literally thousands of people had come to Christ where it once was dead, he did the research on it, finding out what happened here. And he found the story that the first day he was there, a woman came home to her shut-in friend, an older lady, and says, what happened at church today? I know there was this guy from America there named Dwight Moody. Really? That woman had been praying for 5 years that Dwight Moody would come to their church. No one else even knew who Dwight Moody was, but she had read about revivals that happened in Chicago. It was that very afternoon that she determined that she would not eat. She would fast and just pray that revival would take place in her church. And years later, this is what was said about it. May I put this word in there as a parenthesis to the story, that God oftentimes allows us to be shut out, shut in, as this old woman. He does not shut us in. He does not need to. Simply take his hand off partly. There is enough disobedience to his law and all of our bodies all the time to shut us aside. No trouble on that side of the problem with pain to himself against his own first will for us. I'm reading the wrong part. I'm going, that doesn't make any sense. All right. Here we go. All right. He did not read that. Oh, my gosh. Let me read that to you. In summary, here's the story. Revival happens. Do you believe? I believe without a doubt that someday when the night is gone and the morning light comes out and we know that we are known, that we shall find the largest single factor in those 10 days of work of Moody, in the changing of 10,000 lives under Moody's leadership, is the woman in her praying. Not the only factor, you know. Moody, a man of rare leadership and consecration, hundreds of faithful ministers, others rallying to support. But behind, beneath Moody and the others, and to be reckoned with at first, is this woman's yearning for prayer. Friends, I don't use that. It's not only women can pray. But here's what I would say. Men and women, let us define ourselves based upon God created us as his image bearers. He has redeemed us and put us into the gospel ministry. Amen? Amen. All right, we're going to stand together and sing. Make us one. All right? And I pick up a guitar, but I'll just save time. Make us one, Father God, make us one, that the world may know you gave your only Son. Fill us with the love he's given us to share, and protect us from the evil everywhere. For he has shown us that together we can be a reflection of his love and unity. Tease us from the old nature of sin, that his image may be seen in us again. Help us in the world to be a channel of all the glorious riches of your love, and we'll tell the world the truth of how you feel, and we'll tell them that the love of God is real. If God knits us together as men and women, we reflect his glory, and we let people in Lake County and around the world know that there is hope. Our Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to be everything you desire for us to be. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful mercies towards us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and have a great day. Make sure you get to meet Rich underneath the tent.